The Vikings are stocking up cornerbacks. Is that just the way Mike Zimmer likes to do things, or is that a sign of something? And my pet theory is the NFC North might come down to who wants to play for their team, Aaron Rodgers or Danielle Hunter. Also had a really interesting theory on my Blocked and Muted show. Kevin Seifert, former Vikings beat writer for the Star Tribune, now with ESPN, told me he could see Aaron Rodgers retiring. He thinks that's where all this is heading. Let's get into all these topics here on the Viking Update Show with John Krasinski. I'm Jim Suhan. John, let's start with just the basic news. We'll get to the more intriguing stuff later. The Vikings are going out and signing cornerbacks. They bring in Rashad Breeland, which I thought was going to happen. They brought in Ty Smith, which I didn't think was going to happen. And obviously now Ty Smith is pretty much just depth. Or is there something more going on here? Is this a lack of confidence in the people they have? Is this concern over Gladney's court case? Is this concern over Patrick Peterson's age? How do you read it all?
Yeah, I think it could be all of the above, Jim. I mean, we have heard Mike Zimmer say over and over again during his tenure here that you can never have enough defensive backs, cornerbacks. And I believe that that is certainly true in this day and age with the modern NFL and the passing that they're going to face week in and week out. So if you want to be deep at any position, I do think cornerback is one of the ones that you really want to add as much talent as possible. But you'd also do have to look at the situation that they have with their defensive backs. I mean, Jeff Gladney is facing those criminal charges. He has not been in the early parts of the voluntary mini camps and workouts and things. While they're still sorting that out, you also have they just traded Mike Hughes to Kansas City last month. And that, you know, was, I think, just kind of a recognition on the Vikings' part that they don't believe that Hughes is ever going to get back to fully healthy the way that they need him to play at a high level in this league. And so even if you were planning on that, it's still losing a body and trying to kind of figure out how you're going to cover that up. And then, you know, as good as Cameron Dantzler was, or as the flashes that he showed last year, you still know that he's a second year player that probably has a lot to learn. Then you have Chris Boyd, you have Harrison Hand, you have other guys who have played snaps in the league, but just, you know, it still remains to be seen how impactful that they can be at that position. So not only, I think it was interesting that they didn't just sign one of the two veterans, Ty Smith and Rashad Breeland, they signed both of them. And so I think whenever you're loading up that way, that kind of goes to maybe more of a philosophy of there's a lot here to work on, and we want to give ourselves as much of a kind of cushion as possible if Patrick Peterson either struggles or has injuries, as older players are want to do. If Cameron Dantzler is a little bit slower on the development path, if Jeff Gladney cannot play either for a stretch of the season because of a suspension, or you decide to move on from him altogether. There's just so many kind of moving parts in that defensive backfield that it makes sense that the Vikings would go out there and get a couple of these guys, especially with Breeland. It's $4 million with incentives and things, not exactly breaking the bank. And so I can see why they're doing it. And, you know, there's multiple reasons for that, it seems like, at this point.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like, too, it ended up being an unofficial trade where the Chiefs mm-hmm. get Hughes and the Vikings get Breeland. And Hughes has a lot of athletic ability, a lot of speed. But for what the Vikings need right now, that's probably a win for the Vikings.
Yeah, and I do think it is interesting, you know, when you look at it as a trade, because clearly Kansas City, they've made a lot of additions to their roster. And so it could have been as much of a cap casualty as anything else. But, you know, they were in the mode of they could kind of take a chance and see if Mike Hughes has anything left. And they let a little bit more expensive guy go in Breeland. And, you know, Breeland is 29 years old. He's been on four different teams. This is his fourth team, the Vikings, with the Washington football team, Green Bay and Kansas City. And so, you know, he's been around the block, but he's also kind of a little bit well-traveled. So we don't exactly know, I guess, where in his, you know, career path he is right now. Does he have 2 or 3 years, good years left in him? We'll see. The Vikings really essentially just need one. That, I mean, and then they can kind of reevaluate again going into next season. But they just, I think what Mike Zimmer is looking for here is just give me some solid cornerbacks who have been in this league, who know systems, who can understand the concepts, maybe have good ideas of the receivers that they're facing, and can just hit the ground running because they have so much youth there. Otherwise, you know, with Dantzler, Gladney, Boyd, Hand, like those guys, those are real young guys who some of them have upside, but I think Zimmer wants some guys that he can trust back there. And with Breland, with Ty Smith, maybe just a little bit more experience if they're not necessarily, you know, shut down corners. Zimmer can probably get by with that as long as he can get coachable guys who know what they're doing and will be in the right spots.
Thanks to Starbank, starbank.net, and Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Thanks to our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. If you're new to TalkNorth.com, welcome. We have the best lineup in Minnesota sports. Russo, LaPanta, Cheryl Reeve, Jeff Diamond, John Krasinski, John Millay. The list goes on and on. Tons of outdoor content, the Bar Down Beauties hockey show. Lots of stuff we keep adding. We've also added LaBelle Neal to our baseball show with Roy Smalley. That show is called Chin Music. I've also started my own show, Block Commute, with Jim Suhan. Again, Kevin Seifert was my guest last week. Previous week, LaTroy Hawkins really talked in depth about his life. We've had Lindsey Whalen, Derek Falvey, lots of cool people. So check that out as well. All the shows are at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen, either follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod so you see the shows as they're released, or subscribe to your favorite podcast app. That's the easiest way. It's free. It's just convenient. So Seifert brought up a really interesting theory, because what I find interesting about the Aaron Rodgers situation is that you can get a different theory from, and not from hot take artists, I mean from really deeply ingrained, smart reporters and analysts. Jeff Diamond thinks that he'll probably be traded, but maybe not this year. Andrew Brandt thinks he'll be traded, but not this year. Rob Domofsky thinks there's no way Rodgers is ever going to play for the Packers again. Tom Silverstein says that there's no way they can really afford to give him the guaranteed money that he might want, because it would destroy their salary cap in the future. And Kevin Seifert was, though, the first person on my show that I've heard say he thinks Aaron Rodgers really just might walk away.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I think you phrased it the right way, because right now, especially in June, in NFL coverage, there is you see a rash out there of the hot takes, of people just trying to get attention, of people just throwing wild theories out there so that they can get a headline on Pro Football Talk, and that, you know, you can kind of stir the pot for a day in the sports discourse. But obviously, you know, Seifert is not one of those guys. And, you know, you and I both have known him for a long, long time. He really likes to think about things, and he's measured, and he does his research. He also really tries to kind of get into the weeds of a situation and into the nuance and things like that, and doesn't just spout off like some other people do who are just looking for attention. So because it comes from Kevin, I give it certainly more credence than I would if I just saw it on First Take, you know, on a Monday morning. And it's a really interesting theory, because just from me, in my perspective and looking at the whole situation, it sure just seems like Aaron Rodgers really wants to play, and that one of the big grievances he has with the Packers is their determination, clearly, that he is nearing the end of the line. And that's why they went with Jordan Love last year and trying to position themselves for the future. And it, all indications it seemed to be was like Aaron Rodgers wants to play into his 40s. And that's, you know, that's the competitiveness. That's where he thinks his game is at this point. So to hear someone talk about, hey, maybe he's just done, like maybe this is the way that it's setting up, that did surprise me a little bit, because I find it hard to see a player of his caliber, of his competitiveness, walking away after an MVP season. But hey, maybe he has gotten to that point. I certainly can't rule it out. I can't call Kevin, you know, misinformed or anything, because I know that's, he's the exact opposite of that. And when you mentioned there too, Jim, about how all of the kind of, a lot of the really plugged in guys on that beat or around that team are starting to really kind of indicate that, Aaron Rodgers may not be there. Like, that is also swaying my opinion, because I've just kind of been of the belief that, man, the Packers are going to play hardball here, and they're going to make sure that they don't get pushed into a corner. And so I tended to believe that in training camp or right before the season, you'd see Aaron Rodgers show up like Brett Favre showed up and just play. But there are a lot of very, very smart people who are indicating elsewhere otherwise now. And that's, you know, starting to turn the heat up on this thing a little bit, which is really, really interesting.
The other development was Mark Murphy, the Packers president, had some interesting comments. Let's get to those. We do want to thank StarBank, starbank.net. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? StarBank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With StarBank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. StarBank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. StarBank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Also, thank you to Pizza Barn. Pizza Barn, as we were talking today, we're doing the show on Monday morning. Pizza Barn's food truck is at my wife's school, serving her staff. They have had great success with their food truck. They're going all over the place, events, concerts, whatever. Perfect thing to have at your outdoor event, whatever that event might be. And of course, you can always go to Princeton and eat at the Pizza Barn, as John Millay and I did last week. But now with the food truck, they're thinking about adding a second truck. It's been so successful. We were inside that food truck the other day, and they have a pizza oven in there. They're not like just warming stuff up. They're actually making everything right there, right in front of you, and handing it through the window. Jody Stay just has done a great job helping her business during the pandemic, still serving her community. She takes care of refs. She employs high school kids. She makes sure their schedule works so they can play sports and still have a part-time job. I just can't recommend Pizza Barn in Princeton or Jody Stay enough. You can check out the availability of the food truck and the menu at either at their Facebook page or at PizzaBarnPrinceton.com. Easy for me to say. Mark Murphy, the Packers president, basically went out of his way to defend his general manager, saying that Gutekunst has just transformed the roster, that they've had, you know, one of the best records in the NFL over the last 2 years. And he also accused Aaron Rodgers of dividing the fan base. Those are pretty incendiary things to say if you're really trying to coax a guy back in.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that as well, Jim. I mean, usually in these instances, I mean, even if you're not trying to coax him back in, even if you're, you know, under the cloak of darkness trying to orchestrate some kind of exit strategy, it's certainly not gasoline that you pour on the fire publicly. I mean, we just see so often NFL teams, and the Vikings are one of them, that go into complete denial, complete hiding during these situations. Stephon Diggs, Percy Harvin, a few others come to mind from the Vikings side of things. This is clearly a much higher profile situation in Green Bay, which is why I'm just surprised that, you know, Mark Murphy is speaking as bluntly about this. In some ways, Jim, he's right. I mean, the Packers have been a great team these last couple of years. And so when you look at Aaron Rodgers' options, you know, where else is he going to go that gives him a better chance to get to the Super Bowl than Green Bay does? You know, if it's Denver, you know, I mean, he could do Peyton Manning things there and vault the Broncos into Super Bowl contention. That's entirely possible. But do they have a better personnel on both sides of the ball than Green Bay does? I don't know about that. And, you know, the Raiders are another team that's been talked about, you know, several other teams. And you just look at it and you just say, you know, will that give him the chance he wants to win? And that's kind of getting back to Seifert's position, maybe just makes you think, like, you know, that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't, you know, that the winning portion of things, and that might not be Aaron Rodgers' priority, maybe just getting out of here. And either a fresh start or a retirement is what is in his mind right now, because Murphy is right there. But certainly I think that's a huge, huge tactical mistake on Murphy's part to kind of try and point some fingers at Rodgers in the heat of the moment, even if he's right about it, because you know Aaron Rodgers is going to hear it. You know that's only going to kind of strain things further. And that takes, you know, some leverage away from Green Bay as well as in these types of things. So I'm just surprised that that it's not a situation where just they go completely quiet and try and deal with this, you know, on the down low, because it just shooting your mouth off is not going to help the situation at all.
I just see a lot of ego and a lot of stubbornness on both sides. And of course, Rodgers, obviously, but the Packers, you know, I don't know if they're playing this right, if they really want him back. And the real question is, it's just how stubborn is Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, one popular theory out there amongst some pretty smart people is that he's become more of a Hollywood person than an NFL person. He thinks that, you know, stars have all the power. He thinks that stars should be catered to, you know, and, you know, maybe he's looking for a change of life. I mean, the one we always thought he wanted to play in the 40s, they always talked about that. But the other factor that is always involved here is just physical health. Does he want to put his body on the line, or does he think there's a better life out there?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. And this also could be very much, you know, Jim, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of trying to claw back some quote unquote player empowerment, if we want to use the NBA term here. Because if you know, kind of followed a lot of the collective bargaining talks, a lot of the negotiations between union and ownership over the last few years, you've heard kind of scuttlebutt and even sometimes Aaron Rodgers coming out and saying it, kind of that he's been one of the ones that's wanted to be more aggressive in the way the players approach a lot of these negotiations, not just with the collective bargaining agreement as a whole, but even in the little things that get negotiated along the way, whether it was the pandemic stuff or the, you know, the off-season programs and things like that. Like Aaron clearly wants the players to have more of a hammer, and his status in the league and his status with that organization, he believes should give him that hammer. And I mean, I think he probably looks at the NBA and what and how LeBron James and a lot of the players have sort of clawed back a lot of the leverage there. He looks at what Tom Brady did with going from New England to Tampa Bay and how that worked to, you know, give him another act in his, you know, forever career and win a Super Bowl there and kind of even further cement his legacy and getting him outside of the Bill Belichick shadow. And so, you know, he, I think, is really trying to push as many chips into the middle of the table as possible. And let's be honest, the NFL owners and NFL executives are generally not used to players doing this, and they certainly, I think, don't want this to become the norm in the NFL. And so you can see a lot of frustration. This may be on Mark Murphy's side. He might just be like, man, I'm tired of dealing with this with Aaron Rodgers. All he does is push and push and push and push for all of these things. And I don't ever hear that from any of my other guys. Well, they don't have the same kind of power that Rodgers envisions himself having. So this is kind of like one of those fork in the road moments that could be a sea change for players. I mean, if the Packers give in and they trade him somewhere where he really wants to go, maybe that lays the groundwork for the next disgruntled star to kind of agitate his way out of a situation the way that Rodgers did. And so there could be some precedent set there. And if he ends up retiring, well, then, you know, that's an entirely different kind of approach to this and could have a different effect on things, because you could even say, well, hey, the Packers won this standoff because it forced Rodgers into retirement, but maybe that's the way that he's leaning already. So it just does seem like that this is one of those moments where you can see one player with a very big platform, with a lot of accomplishment, with a ton of talent and skill, trying to get more for himself and maybe for players in general, and the team saying, man, I don't want to deal with this. This guy's just a prima donna. And well, maybe he is a prima donna, maybe isn't, or maybe he just is trying to get things for the players that have been denied them forever and ever. And the teams are pushing back on that. So it's a really kind of interesting litmus test for the individual power of individual players in the NFL, which is always the league has always really tried to downplay and minimize to avoid situations exactly like this one.
Anything new on the Hunter front, as far as you know?
Not yet. And I thought Mike Zimmer's comments were telling last week at minicamp, and just basically kind of shrugging his shoulders. He had said previously that it seemed like he was trying to kind of project a little bit of optimism about maybe some, conversations that he's had with Hunter and some belief that things were going in the right direction. And this time he just kind of basically said, I don't know, we'll see kind of what's going to happen when they have their mandatory mini camp a little bit later this month. And that's going to be, I think, a really telling moment for where things are with the Vikings and Hunter, similar as where things are with the Packers and Rodgers. Obviously, Hunter does not have near the leverage that Aaron Rodgers does since he's coming off of a significant injury, since he plays defensive end and not quarterback. Like, those are all different things. But like what I've said from the very first time that we heard, reports of Danielle Hunter wanting a new deal and all of these things, like, they don't come from nowhere. And sooner or later, you're going to get to an inflection point where you need to see either some progress or you got to start preparing for the worst. And I think that mandatory camp is going to be the first sign of, okay, is Danielle Hunter in this or is he not? And if he doesn't show up, which seems to be the foreshadowing right now with Zimmer, with Anthony Barr, with all those other things, then I think you're looking at a real difficult situation. I mean, the Vikings are trying to get some other deals done with Brian O'Neill and a couple of their other veterans. Restructuring and figuring out that Danielle Hunter contract is really complicated. And if they can't get something done, we could be headed for an Aaron Rodgers scenario here where Danielle Hunter eventually asks out.
I want to see, just the most basic human level, put journalism aside, put rooting interests aside, all those other things. I just want to see these guys play. I love watching Aaron Rodgers play. I love watching Danielle Hunter play. Rodgers is obviously a very difficult personality, but he's a brilliant performer. Danielle Hunter is a nice young man. I just want to see him on the field. I understand all the issues. I empathize with the issues, but man, I just want to see the guy on the field.
Yeah. And I think that's what everyone wants for sure. And I still believe, I guess at the end of the day, I would be really, really surprised if Aaron Rodgers retires. I know that obviously Danielle Hunter at this stage, he's not talking about retirement, but yeah, no. You really do want to see where he is from an injury standpoint, because when he is healthy and before all of those injuries, I mean, he was defensive player of the year good. And mm-hmm. he really changes the entire face of that defense if he is on there. And so I do want to see, I want to see him come out and say, if he is in this, I want to see him come out and wearing that purple 99 and saying, I'm here. We're going to figure things out. Even some players who have reached contract impasses with the Vikings before have always come out and said, yeah, we're working through this with my agency. I want to make it work here, and we'll see what happens. We have not heard that even from Danielle Hunter. And so until you see the big fella standing up and really talking about his situation and saying that he's all in, I think you have to assume that this is headed the wrong way and that it's headed for some sort of messy parting, because he's had plenty of opportunities over the last few months to nip this in the bud and say, I want to be here and we're going to work this out and we'll see what happens. And he has not said that. And so I have a bad feeling that this is the revisiting of Stephon Diggs. This is the revisiting of Percy Harvin in different ways. Obviously, Danielle Hunter isn't throwing weights at head coaches. He isn't kind of, skipping, practices in the middle of a season and going AWOL the way Diggs did. But it does seem that he is disgruntled the way that those guys were. And there's not been a very good history of the Vikings having a very disgruntled player and working through it and getting out to the other side and having everyone be happy and reunite. So we'll just have to see what happens here eventually. But sooner or later, the quiet guy has got to make, you know, got to make his voice heard. And we'll see if it's this coming, you know, this upcoming mandatory minicamp or not.
Usually we record this show early in the week and we record Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider later in the week. So by Thursday or Friday, you'll be hearing Jeff Diamond's views on all these issues as well. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to Brandon Morton, Star Bank, and Pizza Barn in Princeton.